As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And there are fewer people, then the sunnah method is that we should sit in a semicircle. So, of course, when there are more people, then the whole masjid cannot sit in a semicircle, but otherwise. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد طبعا عمر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الصلاة عماد الدين أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه البيهقي رحمه الله تعالى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. It is narrated from سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu imaduddin. Salah is a pillar of religion. Now this sentence is actually part of a somewhat lengthy narration in which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says that a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ayyu shay'in ahabbu ilallah. What is the most beloved thing or what is the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in reply, As-salatu li waqtiha. Salah at its fixed time, at its preferred time. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever leaves salah, then it is as if he has left deen or he has no deen. Because salah is a pillar of deen. So this is a narration, the narration which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Now, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had a lot of zeal for deen. That is why you find on different occasions, multiple Sahaba radiallahu anhum coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, what is the best deed? What is the best action? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's purpose for asking this was not that we will hold fast onto this and leave everything. No, they had understanding of deen. They understood that everything which is compulsory needs to be come into our life. And everything which is prohibited must go away and must be removed from our life. But they also had zeal that what is that action or what are those actions that we should pay special attention to. You see, many a time we misunderstand how deen works. This is iman. And then after iman there are actions. And out of the actions, the compulsory actions are the most important. And when we say compulsory, that means doing everything that is compulsory and staying away from everything that is prohibited. So that is the most important. When in one hadith, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if my servant wants to get close to me, the method that is most beloved to me is that he does what is compulsory upon him, what I have made compulsory upon him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something compulsory, whether it is doing something, performing salah, doing something compulsory, or whether it is staying away from something, staying away from lying, staying away from ghibah, it is compulsory. That is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that action. You see, our mentality has become that deen is a burden. So when we think fard, someone says this is fard, what do we think? We have to do it. And I'm not saying that is not what it means. Fard does mean compulsory. But fard, when we say fard, that means we have to do it. That means it's something else that we must do. But fard also means that this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves dearly. And therefore the person who does it, he acquires the proximity and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in leaps and bounds as well. So whenever we carry out a fard, then we should keep this in mind as well. My teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Duras, Sahib Hafidhullah, he mentions that now, what us religious people, meaning people who we think we are religious. Whether a person is religious or not, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But us people who have religious worry, we practice upon deed, dande ke zor se. What does that mean? If I don't perform salah, I will get punished. If I do riba, I will get punished. If I misuse my gaze, I will get punished. That is why, if there is something which holds a lot of reward, but it's not compulsory, then we feel very lazy in doing it. When it comes to performing salah, ask yourself, when you walk through those, what is your intention? Majority of us, we will have to say that our intention is, we have to do it, so we are doing it. Not, we are doing it because it is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves dearly. It holds great virtue. It is my opportunity to have an audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says, Al-Musalli yunaji Rabbah. The Musalli, the one performing salah, he is having a secret conversation with his Rabb. Now when someone, one is that you and I are having a conversation and our voices are raised normal level. So I will be sitting here and you will be sitting there. But if you want to have a secret conversation, then one person's mouth will be next to the person's ear. And the person who has to listen will pay full attention. So when there is a secret conversation going on, it is private, and the two are paying full attention to each other. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Al-Musalli yunaji Rabbah, the person performing salah is having a secret conversation with his Rabb. That means his Rabb is paying full attention to him. So how many of us, when we come to the masjid, then this thought is in our mind? So I was saying that fard is the most beloved thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything which is compulsory because it is extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because it makes a person progress in leaps and bounds. What do we keep hearing about the month of Ramadan? For one nafil you get the reward of one fard. For one fard you get the reward of 70 fard. So that gives an indication that fard is probably 70 times more rewarding than nafal. So that is why in the month of Ramadan, for nafal you get 70 times reward, which is similar to a fard. So for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for nafal, you get the reward of a fard. And for fard, that is also multiplied by 70, so you get the reward of 70 fard. So, I was saying back to the structure of you, the structure of our deen, how our deen works, there is iman. And there is a'mal. And out of those a'mal, there are some a'mal that are extremely important. Like salah. A'mal which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned virtues for. And within that virtuous deeds, there are some deeds that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has termed the best of deeds. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has termed salah the best of deeds. In other narrations, we find birrul walidin, obedience to parents, the best of deeds. So there is a category of actions that are the top tier, that go into the category of best deeds. And whenever a person, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very intelligent teacher. And an intelligent teacher knows that you can't give too much information in one go. Information has to be given in bite-sized chunks, in amounts that the person is able to, he is able to digest it. He is able to benefit from it fully. So many Sahaba radiallahu anhum would have this zeal, so they would come in their own time. Sometimes when there is a gathering going on, sometimes maybe when they would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is free, and they would ask, what is the most beloved action? Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had full knowledge of deen, so he knew every single action that falls into the category of most beloved actions. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that it's not appropriate to mention the whole list to him. That is too much. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look at the person. He would look at his condition. What is appropriate for this person's condition? His situation. And based on that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention one of those, one or two or three of those deeds that come into the category of absolute top and best deeds. So, this person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, what is the best, what is the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his condition, what he knew about this person. And he decided of that category of absolute best deeds, the deed that deserves mention to him is as-salatu li waqtiha, salat at its preferred time. So I was mentioning that we have a misunderstanding regarding the structure of deen. There is iman, and there is amal, and in amal there is the compulsory deeds, and in there are some that are extremely important. And after the compulsory deeds come the things that are sunnah, the things that are nafal, mustahab. So iman is most important. After that, the compulsory deeds are most important, and within that there is a category of compulsory deeds which are absolutely vital, like salah, like fasting, like birrul walidain, obedience to the parents, like staying away from major sins such as zina, such as alcohol. Absolutely key compulsory deeds. Within that, the rest of compulsory deeds. After that, sunnah. After that, mustahabbat and nawafil. Now, these are all connected. Iman is the most fundamental. But iman remains safe when you do the compulsory actions. They strengthen iman. It is not the case that my iman is there, that means my beliefs are there. I have, alhamdulillah, I feel connected to, I feel I have a connection with Allah. I feel I have a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, whether, yes, I must do the amal, I must do what is compulsory, I must perform salah, but if I don't, then at least I still have iman. My iman is not going anywhere. This is incorrect. You can say iman is at the center, and the compulsory actions, the most important compulsory actions like salah, they are the first wall around iman. After that come the rest of the compulsory actions, that is the second wall. After that come the sunan and the sunnah actions. After that come the nawafil and mustahabbat, the adab, the etiquettes. So that iman, which has the most important compulsory actions, rest of the compulsory actions, sunan, mustahabbat, and nawafil, it has five walls in front of it. When shaitan attacks that iman, worst case scenario, he will be able to attack the nawafil, the sunnah actions, but he will not get anywhere near iman. So the way to guarantee your iman is safe is do the compulsory actions of those, do the most important ones especially, do the rest of the compulsory actions. After that, don't stop and think, I'm fine, I'm doing everything compulsory. No, do the sunnah actions. Then do whatever nafal and mustahabbat you can as well. Let us take a step back. Imagine you have decided that, okay, iman is necessary. Everything compulsory is also necessary, I must do it. But sunan mustahabbat, those are optional. So now there is iman. Around iman is the most important compulsory action, that is one wall. The rest of the compulsory actions, that is another wall. So you have two walls. You have no wall of sunnah after that. You have no wall of mustahabbat after that. When shaitan decides to attack, he's directly attacking your compulsory actions. So your compulsory actions are in danger. Let me give you a very, very simple example, and you will understand this practically. Let's go with the example of salah, because this is the hadith which is under discussion. I am, for example, punctual with my fard, for example, with my sunnah muakkada, and with my sunnah ghair muakkada and nawafil. So, for example, there are two rakats nafal after dhuhr. I am very punctual with them. So I perform the full four before, four rakats fard, two rakats sunnah afterwards, two nafal as well. Now shaitan attacks. He makes me feel lazy. He makes me feel like I can't be bothered. What will happen? I will leave out those two nawafil. I have left those two nawafil, but because I was regularly practicing those two nafal, when shaitan decided to attack, the only thing that got lost was the two nafal. If I was not performing that two nafal, I was only performing four rakat sunnah muakkada, four rakat farz and two rakat sunnah muakkada. When shaitan attacks, the nafil is not there to take the brunt of shaitan's attack. My sunnah muakkada would have gone. And if I didn't have sunnah muakkada, I just had fard. When shaitan attacked, my fard would have gone. So in our day and age, we hear that, you know, people are leaving the iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our deen. If there is anyone out there who is on the verge, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring him back within the folds. I always say that we can't help everyone. We can't find, we don't even know everyone. We can't reach out to everyone. But we can't make a dua for everyone. And we should never ever, when making dua, feel like my dua is not benefiting. Who knows where in the world your dua is benefiting? Today we have made dua for all the people who are on the verge of losing the iman. Who knows where in the world our dua has benefited? So I was mentioning that any person who loses the iman, when we go into the details, what will we find? That he met up with so-and-so person. So-and-so person made him doubt his iman. He mentioned some questions to him. You know, religion says this, it doesn't make sense. Your religion says that, it doesn't make sense. Or he watched some video or some, came across some website which mentioned those. And because of that, he started having doubts. And he started having doubts, and then eventually he left the fold of Islam. This is what we hear, don't we? So what do we think? If his doubts were answered, he would have stayed within the fold of Islam. Not necessarily. Those questions which were posed, those doubts which were created, they were created because that iman was weak. There was no wall protecting that iman. If there was a wall protecting that iman, that those doubts and questions would not have been able to snatch away his iman. So in fact, I have come across this as well. Sometimes a person who is practicing, someone poses a question like this to him, something to do with deen. And he gets worried because he cannot give the answer. So he gets worried. That, you know, he's given. But his iman never comes under threat. He does not for a moment feel like, is iman correct or not? He becomes frightened that, why don't I have the answer to this question? But his iman does not come under threat for a moment. So, the best way to protect our iman, the iman of our children, is make sure they are practicing. And prevention is always better than cure. Prevention is always better than cure. Before someone gets to that stage, That is when the real opportunity to work is. It is one of the great favors of our pious predecessors, that in the Indian subcontinent initially and here as well, they organized the system of the maktab. This is prevention. We do not realize how many people's iman is strengthened in the initial state through the teachings of the maktab, because of which throughout life, even though they go up through ups and downs, they don't lose their iman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned as-salatu li waqtiha. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because salah, out of the action, salah is one of the most important. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned that whoever doesn't have salah, it is as if he has no deen. His deen is very weak. The building is there, but as-salatu imadud deen, salah is the pillar of deen. Salah is the pillar of the building. And if a building has a pillar in the middle and you remove that pillar, what happens? Now the building may fall down any time. If a strong wind blows, that building is now in danger. If a strong force comes, something hits the building, it is in danger. If shaitan hits that building, it is in danger. So salah is the pillar of deen. It is a pillar of deen. So the first thing we need to take off from this hadith is that we must have salah in our life. Next point, you have a pillar. But a pillar can be of varying strength. A pillar can be made correctly with strong, without any holes, without any cracks. That pillar will inshallah keep the building up even in a storm. And there is another pillar which is old. It has cracks in. It is worn away on one side. So it is not useless. It is better than no pillar. But there is still a danger. So if we want to strengthen our deen, we must strengthen our salah. How do we strengthen our salah? By bringing it as close to the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba radiallahu anhu and the entire ummah, the messengers for the entire ummah, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Perform salah just like you see me performing salah. So, we should not rest content that salah is in our life, alhamdulillah. No. We should perfect that salah. Part of perfecting that salah is performing wudu properly. This is where it starts. Performing wudu properly, performing wudu with his sunnah. After that comes performing salah in the masjid for males. For females, performing the salah at home. After that comes, as well as performing the farz, performing those things connected to the farz. We unfortunately, now we cannot even come, our condition has become, on the weekdays we can say we are busy. But every weekend we cannot possibly be busy. Maybe one weekend we are busy maybe. But we should ask ourselves, how many times do I firstly come to the masjid, and if I come to the masjid, how many times do I make it to perform the sunnah beforehand? This is all part of the perfecting of salah. You know what the sunnah beforehand are there for? The ulama have said that the sunnah beforehand are there because in salah, the focus of salah is that a person connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets everything and he thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is watching me with a lot of love. He is fully focused towards me. And the farz is the most important part. But you walk in, so you are busy doing whatever you are doing. Some worldly thing. And you walk in, and the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, and you say, Allahu Akbar. Whatever you were doing before is still in your head. The purpose of the sunnah beforehand is that you come in a bit early. You perform few rakats before salah. So by that time, whatever was going on in your head has been given the time to get out of your head. Now when you perform the fard, you are able to concentrate. So, let us make this objective that I want to perfect my salah. This will go a very, very long way to perfecting deen. Because the Quran says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prevents a person from immoralities, وَالْمُنْكَرِ and everything evil. Salah has the quality of preventing a person from everything evil. So, this verse is mentioned in the Quran. The Mufassirin have raised a very important question, which is that this verse is saying that Salah prevents a person from every kind of evil. So why do we see so many people who perform Salah regularly, but who still have evil in their life? He performs Salah 5 times a day, he still has ghibah in his life. He performs Salah 5 times daily, he is still misusing his gifts. Why is it? The verse is saying that Salah prevents a person from every kind of evil. So the Muhaddithin have given various, Mufassirin have given various answers. The best answer is that إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Indeed, Salah prevents a person from immorality and evil. Look before that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُطْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Recite whatever has been revealed in the Quran. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish Salah. Make Salah firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say pray Salah. Allah gives a command, establish Salah, make Salah firm. That means, make Salah perfect. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prevents a person from every type of evil. So if a person perfects his Salah, that is the Salah which will slowly remove every type of evil from his life. So, this is a very great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, could have told us that you must concentrate on every single part of deen and make sure it is in your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds a bit of detail for us, that make sure everything compulsory is in your life, but there are some actions which if you give special importance to, they will make everything else easy. You will not have to worry too much and the rest of the things will come easily into your life. This is a favor of Allah. So we don't think, oh, it's too much. No, we think, if I hold fast to this one thing, it will make it easy for me. And Salah is one of them. So let it make it a purpose, that I want to perfect my Salah. That means my wudu should be properly. I must perform Salah in the masjid. My action should be in the sunnah manner. Let me ask someone to check my actions. From time to time, here as well, we have a Salah program. This is the purpose, that our Salah become perfect. I should be able to concentrate in my Salah. I should learn how to concentrate in my Salah. If I cannot concentrate, I should go ask, how do I concentrate in my Salah? If we do this, then inshallah, firstly our iman, it will strengthen our iman and make our iman safe. And secondly, it will slowly but surely bring the rest of deen into our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring Salah into our life and perfect Salah. آمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن نستغفرك ونتوب. The month of Ramadan is the ideal opportunity for this. In the month of Ramadan, everything becomes easy. So let's just make it a purpose that in the month of Ramadan, I will try to perform every salah, from the first salah until the last salah, to the best of my ability, with quality. I will try to, yes, every person has work. Outside of those hours, I will try to make sure I get the first takbir. I will try to make sure I perform the sunnah beforehand. Inshallah, we will see the barakat of this for the rest of the year and the rest of our life.